Hello and welcome to another episode of Hallmarked. I'm Kristen.
I'm Aya.
And here is the episode that will make last week's episode make way more sense.
Yes. This week we are watching... Oh, I keep saying that. We are reviewing. We have watched. We encourage you to watch. We are reviewing A Vineyard Christmas.
Yes. Which is a little bit exciting because Katie Wilbert, who wrote A Vineyard Christmas, wrote us a message being like, hey, I wrote this Christmas movie.
Yeah.
I've heard your podcast. You should watch it. So thanks, Katie, for reaching out. It's very exciting. We might be talking to Katie later down the track.
She might not thank us after
we apologize.
Review. Look, okay, look, here's the thing, and we've spoken about it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to share it with everyone.
We discussed it off mic.
Yeah, off mic. Now we're going on mic. Probably could have stayed off mic. It's fine. I think from my perspective, and I don't know, you might, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but hopefully you agree. Like, just because someone reached out to us doesn't mean we're going to be like, oh, it's so great, it's amazing, blah, blah, blah. First of all, good job for, like, writing it, getting it made.
That's what we want to know how to do.
That's incredible, and that's what we're interested in knowing. I also would love to know, like, how much control she had over, like, the script and, like, certain things, because there are things in this movie that aren't great.
But there are things in this movie that are great.
Yeah. But that's
as
with any...
per every movie we watch.
Exactly. So we're not... I'm not going to say... sit here and be like, oh, it was so good. I'm going to be myself and you're going to be yourself.
I'm gonna be myself.
But we always finish with three things.
We always finish with three things. And you know what? We're going to get into it. Also, this is the thing, right? We want to be... our end game at some point in the near or distant future is to write a Hallmark-esque movie.
I think also we could just start writing.
We could.
We haven't actually done that, but, you know, it's good to, like, watch as many as you can.
And we've thrown a lot of ideas around.
I guess,
ultimately, what we would be creating is the anti-Hallmark movie.
Yeah.
Like, how do we use the tropes in a way that we've complained about?
Yeah.
So many times. And I think this is probably the first movie where some of those tropes are flipped on their head a little bit more than what we have watched previously. But we will get to that. What is this movie about?
Yeah, so A Vineyard Christmas, apparently also known as Mistletoe and Wine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're both titles, not good, so it's a lose-lose situation.
Potentially in the States, there's already a movie called A Vineyard Christmas.
That's usually what happens,
particularly
if it's like a whole, because this is a Real One Entertainment again. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that before with Love Strikes Twice, mm-hmm. and it was called, I can't even remember what it was also called, but because
Second
there was a Hallmark,
Second
Chance something Christmas, wasn't it?
Mm.
Because there's usually like a Hallmark movie by the same name, Real One then gives it another name.
Yeah.
So that's where that comes in. Yes, that's very true. So Heather, host of Read Between the Vines, is determined to create the perfect Christmas episode by featuring a unique winery from her hometown. The only thing standing in her way... Rudy, the attractive, stubborn owner of the winery. So, yeah, she hosts a winery, like, TV show, and her boss is very annoying and says, like, you need to have, like, the best episode for Christmas, otherwise you're not going on some European tour.
Yeah, so there is, like, a potential to expand into European wine.
Yeah, so then, like... there's a kind of like a bit of back and forth, you know, you're not going home for Christmas, so there's a bit of back and forth of where this next episode should take place. Heather suggests her hometown.
The boss doesn't know it's her hometown.
No, yeah, the boss doesn't know, but yeah, this is her plan, to go to her hometown and say, oh, this winery is amazing, blah, blah, blah. And then the boss says, yeah, okay, go. And KB thought it was in the last movie. In this movie, Heather brings a friend with her.
Yes.
Because the friend is the only camera crew you need and production crew you need.
Yeah, she's like, we'll get to that.
I've written
a lot of questions.
Heather and friend who's also
Shannon.
Director, sound, lighting.
Editor,
like everything. For this TV show goes with her. And then they find out, oh no, the winery is owned by someone else. Apparently after not googling that.
See, there's just a lot of non-questions.
Yeah.
With both vineyards.
Yeah, and then so the new owner, of course, is like the guy who's like, I'm stubborn and I'm gonna do it my way. And she's like, cool, I don't know what she says. She's like, I need you to let me film a TV show here. And he's like, no. And then she convinces him to, but also he has a brother who's like, no, it's good for it's business. Because apparently business is failing after only being open for a year.
Yeah.
And obviously they make a show. They fall in love. The end. And actually it's a really nice ending.
And this is the thing that like got me. Like,
yeah.
The ending is the thing that I'm like, finally.
Which we will reveal.
But this is not the end of the episode, so therefore we're not talking about the end of the movie.
Usually I do just say what happens, but
yeah,
not this time.
I have a feeling the ending of this movie is why Katie may have messaged us.
Yeah, like she went, you know what? You complain a lot. You're not going to complain about this bit.
Yeah. So.
Sorry, I'm just sipping my coffee.
The boss at the beginning of the movie says lots of things. And the first thing she says is like you have this like single lady agenda.
Don't we all?
And I'm like, yeah. And?
Yeah.
I think so. And it's good to see a leading lady that's like, yep. And your point is?
Yeah.
The boss then decides that there's a lack of winter and Christmas in her Christmas vineyard episode.
Totally agree.
But then Heather's like, but that's what you asked for.
Yeah.
You didn't want Christmas. So there's a lot of like, the first half of the movie is a lot of like,
yeah,
whiplash.
This boss is, okay, I don't want to keep referring to the other vineyard movie too, but the bosses in both vineyard movies are like terrible.
Yeah.
I could go in more detail, but this one in particular, like she contradicts herself all the time.
And then like the idea of like, hey, I know that you have leave booked for Christmas, but nope. If you don't work through Christmas, you're not getting this show.
Surely that's not legal. Surely, like, isn't there a HR department?
We work in a country where we get a week to 2 weeks off between Christmas and New Year. Yeah. So I don't entirely know, because it does seem like the trend that we see in film is that people are all working through Christmas.
But also, if you're releasing a Christmas episode, first of all, her friend must be so speedy at editing this TV show together. Like, and, you know, it's not good anyway.
Yeah.
So when is this show, like, airing? If it's airing before Christmas, then technically she's not working Christmas. Through Christmas. I didn't really understand the timeline.
And then when Heather's like, oh, you know what? I've heard of this great winery. It'll make for a perfect Christmas episode. And the boss is like, done, go for it. And then she walks out and she's like, I'm going home for Christmas. Yeah. I was like, as over the top as this acting is.
Oh,
and honestly, I do believe that the acting is what lets this movie down.
Absolutely.
I did appreciate, like, when she's like, no, I'm going home for Christmas. Yeah. I was like, oh, damn.
Yeah. You are. You go home for Christmas.
You go home for Christmas. That's my next line. The acting in this movie is intense.
It is. I don't even know how to describe it. It's just terrible.
It's honestly shocking. And, like, it's...
They've never acted that in their life.
That's what it feels like. But, like, I don't know if that's a directy thing. I don't know if they just haven't done a movie like this before, and so they felt like they needed to be more caricature. But every single person, except for maybe Rudy and his brother Anton, are just like really expressive, very like gestury. Yeah. Their voices are cartoony.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
It's, I just could, and like listening, watching the scenes with Heather and her dad, I'm just like, am I watching a Disney TV movie? Like, what is happening?
Totally.
And that's like, again, nothing, like that is the thing that I just, every time they opened their mouth, I was like, please stop talking.
No, totally. Even like the friend, like it was very like, it's the friend in particular. What's the friend's name?
Did I write that down?
Friend slash colleague, camera girl. Let's call it camera.
Shannon. I wrote it down. Let's call it camera girl.
Camera girl, is Heather's friend. So when Heather's told like she has to work through Christmas, she then just says to camera girl, "So are you? We're going. Get your stuff ready. We're going." And yeah, her camera girl's acting is very, like, very Disney. Very, very Disney, like, when we were younger.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking, like, Hannah Montana kind of, like,
yeah,
style Disney.
That is, yeah, that's probably the best way to describe it. Dad, in the scene, is telling her that the vineyard isn't the O'Reillys anymore.
Mm.
And so she's like, oh, then I have no story. And he's like, well, actually, it's been bought out by somebody. Like, it's the, like, each piece of information is kind of interrupted.
But
by some, like, an ego that is super strange.
But, like, why didn't she Google it? And the dad even, says, okay, yeah, okay, this is, okay, hold on. Whoa. I didn't understand. Why aren't you Googling these things and doing, like, research? Like, things can change, even if it's, like, a family business. Families and businesses evolve. Just do, like, one simple Google search.
I give them a call,
like, saying, oh, by the way, I'm going to come. Can I come and film?
Can I come and film at your vineyard?
Isn't there, like, pre-production where you plan this and get permission? Apparently not.
I had the same problem in the last movie.
Yeah. Then the dad confirms that the website for the old place is still up. Oh, yes. How confusing. Well, that's just dumb as well.
Yes.
Wouldn't you just stick a sign on the, like, stick some text at the top of the website being like, we are closed. It is now this business.
Well, we assume that they're too old to understand the internet.
Oh, my God. Okay, as someone who works in that area, not winery, like digital marketing, like, you literally can pay anyone. Well, yeah. Not anyone. I'm very skilled. You can pay professionals and experts to fix those things for you.
Yes. But then it wouldn't be a Hallmark movie / a real one entertainment movie.
I want realism.
We do. We ask too much, I think. The meet cute is not a meet cute as per usual. And I think that's probably where we're just going to, like, have to realize that I need to stop calling them a meet cute.
But that's what they're known as.
Heather and Rudy meet outside the winery, and it's just super awkward because she's come up and she's like, it's not O'Reilly's, and apparently this is now owned by this, like, stoic, unfriendly out-of-towner, and he's like, that's me.
Yeah.
And he's like, if you're so local, then why don't I know you? Mm. And so it starts becoming this, like, weird competition of, like, who runs the town better. And honestly, much better than the meet cute we had before, where they did actually know each other, but they were pretending that they didn't really know each other. Whereas at least this one, he was giving back as much sass as he was getting.
Yes, totally.
Until the brother is like, hey, team, calm down.
Let's work together.
Hey, it might actually be cool if someone filmed here, but also, like, this is a new place and, like, maybe just a phone call would have been good.
For sure. So, okay, this is where we're at. She could have called and organized this, but also this is a new winery, apparently, like, only a year or something like that. Yeah, and they're an established winery.
Yeah.
So I have questions about that.
Yeah, like, where were they first?
What happened to that place? What did they change the grapes? Because grapes and climates change the type of wine. Are they importing wine? Oh, do they talk about it?
They talk about wine.
Oh,
and the grapes.
Probably fast-forwarded that part. It was, I watched the entire thing. Okay, yeah, well, these are probably the questions I had at the time.
Yeah.
I can't really remember that part of the movie. And then what was it? Yeah, how can a business be failing after a year? Like, I just, if you're already an established business, it's just a lot of questions. But is it because you moved?
A loyalty to the older brand, right? Like, if this is a small town and people are like, well, it's not O'Reilly's.
Yeah.
Like, that small town mentality also would have probably
played. I just would love to know, and obviously, I don't know, maybe Katie, the writer, will have an idea of what she envisioned. Like, why did they leave the other town? Like, where? True, why winery, did they leave the
winery? Why did the next winery move to a smaller?
Where do they come from, and why did they leave?
Yeah,
because that I don't think that's how it works. But I don't.
Yeah,
know.
I think too. Again, I'm like, is this movie or was this the last movie? But I'm pretty sure Anton was like, the vineyard was my idea. This business was my idea at the end of the movie. So potentially they were not an established winery before then. But again, I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah.
Heather makes a lot of assumptions. She has assumed that O'Reilly's is just going to be okay with her filming.
Yeah.
She then assumes that the new owners will host the annual food and wine festival because the previous owners did.
And it's important to the town, but more importantly, important to her.
Because it has a connection to her mother, who has passed away, leaving her father a widow.
Another...
ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, bingo card.
We're just crossing off the same
kind of the same
square
thing.
At this point. So, yeah, it's... And she keeps saying things like, well, it's you doing this is integral to my special. She just, as much as I loved her gumption at the beginning of the movie, it turns very quickly into selfishness once she gets home.
She is very selfish. I find her, she's also just like a terrible friend to her friend and colleague as well.
And she leaves her.
She leaves her.
Shannon doesn't go along for these like location scouting understanding of the vineyard missions.
No, she
gets
not.
To hang out with Heather's dad, who takes her ice. Like, to be fair, Shannon seems to have a far better holiday than she gets to do all the fun things. This is the bit that I had to Google, because they are a vineyard that specializes in ice wine, which I didn't know existed, because I don't drink alcohol.
I didn't know it existed either, and I do drink alcohol.
But it's, according, again, to Wikipedia, so not, like, the most reliable of sources, it's a type of dessert wine produced from grapes that have been frozen while still on the vine, which is probably why they've moved the vineyard to this place, because it gets really cold and freezes the grapes.
And that's what they want to specialize.
And that's what they want to specialize in. The sugars dissolve. The sugars and other dissolved solids do not freeze, but the water does, allowing for a more concentrated grape juice to develop, is pretty cool.
The only thing I would say about that is, like, you don't actually have to move, because a lot of local, like, I'm thinking about wineries I've been in Australia, a lot of them import grapes from other vineyards, like, and use them as, like, a blend or something to then make within their own vineyards. So, like, someone, they could have stayed where they were.
And they imported frozen grapes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But then they wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have a story, Aya.
Oh, I know. But I'm just trying to add logic.
We will continue to try.
Yeah.
Forever.
To add logic. Yeah.
This is the point where I was like, I don't understand what Shannon's role is here. Is she the assistant? Is she just a friend? Yeah. Is she the camera girl? Is she an editor? Is she her off-sided? Is she also host? At this point, I had no idea. And then it wasn't until the next scene where she's literally holding a camera that I'm like, oh, she's the camera girl.
Yeah. Sorry, just before we get to that. So at this point, he agrees to do the show.
He then agrees because his brother talks him into it.
Yeah. It's the reading of the contract. He reads the contract and it's like a contract, right? Multiple pages. He skims it and then like he makes like a comment, like being like, looks good. It's like, you can't know that it looks good. You just flicked through two pages. It's these details. Like, I don't know how you would show that in a quick moment, but I'll look, even just say, I'll look this over and add an extra scene. I don't know.
I'll get my lawyer to have the look over this. Yeah. Look, I mean, we got the same thing in Wonka though.
Which one?
The latest one.
Oh, I haven't watched that.
He only looked over that contract. Well, I mean, he couldn't read. So I guess that maybe... Who
couldn't read?
Wonka.
Timothy Chalamet can't read.
No, Timothy Chalamet could read. It would be impressive. I mean, maybe he gets someone to record his lines for him. And he gets. I'm not going to start a rumor about the fact that Timothy, as far as I know, Timothy Chalamet can read.
Right, yeah, I'm not seeing that movie.
Maybe,
so interesting.
Maybe it's a male thing. We're just going to really genderize this problem. They're just going to flick through and be like, that's fine. I'll sign.
Yeah.
But then they get into trouble, right? Because he's super awkward on camera.
Yes.
Like, so awkward on camera. Yeah. It's going to be the most boring show because he is so awkward on camera.
Do you know what also is going to make it the most boring show is just the one camera.
Yeah.
Like, there's no angle. No, it's like literally front on. there's no, like, there's just nothing interesting about the production value of this at all. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, it is very, like, the when we see snippets of the show, it's very high quality. But yeah. Then you can...
But we've definitely watched movies. We haven't reviewed it. I wonder which one it is. Who's the Luke guy that we like?
McFarlane.
Luke McFarlane. Do you remember one where he was like a carpenter or something and it was like a TV show? Like a production.
A convenient groom? No, it was another one. There's been a production.
There was one where he was in a house renovating. Yeah. We need to find that one.
Yeah,
that was,
we do.
But that one... I remember had like a camera crew, but also the convenient groom or whatever other one he was in, there was a camera crew. Like, it's just hire like two extra people to fill it out and make it more realistic.
And again, I've never done a traveling talk show, I guess.
But surely
there's like one other person, like even just sound, like who's on boom or are there like... where's the sound coming through the camera? Anyway,
yeah,
the realism. Why did I write that? What does that mean?
You have to. Is this your?
You have to do the thing you don't want to do because you're hot.
I mean, the owner. What does that mean? You have to do the thing
you don't want to do because you're hot. Oh, I have a feeling he was like, I don't want to do this. And maybe Shannon responds with
what,
like,
says that,
but you're so good, it's okay because you're good looking.
Oh, like, and so that's a reason why he should do it.
That you should do it because you're yeah.
I don't know. She says a lot of weird stuff in this. Yeah.
The next one I have is about the snowman building competition. And I think what they're trying to do is to get him... I will start to admit that it's at this point in the movie that I started working on other things while watching. They're trying to get him more into, like, the spirit of Christmas, into the spirit of the town.
So they're trying to relax him a bit as well.
So that he is more comfortable on camera, but also maybe might start thinking about putting on the food and wine festival. So there's, like, a double whammy reason. And... he tells her that she's difficult and she tells him that he's stubborn. And so then it's they, like, start bonding over their flaws.
It's like, it's like Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't remember a mistletoe moment. I'm sure, was there a mistletoe and then they almost kiss and then someone interrupts? That's usually how it is.
Or someone tells them that they...
Oh, that someone says, oh, there's mistletoe.
Yeah, or that mistletoe... Oh, I'm going to have to go... I'm so sorry, team. I'm going to start have to write... writing notes that's like,
no, it's because
this
we
is
haven't...
why you've watched this.
No, but it's because we watched this, like, I watched this like early last week.
It's been a while.
It's been almost 2 weeks.
It's been a while. Apparently there's a mistletoe moment when you get to that part of the movie. Let me know what I meant. They start bonding. She eventually reveals Heather eventually reveals that she's lost her mum and that she needs the festival because she's been trying to get back home for Christmas but has not been able to because she's been forced to work, and that her mum was all about the festival.
Yeah.
And not that she organised the festival, she just really loved the festival,
Yeah.
And then I think she apologizes for being vulnerable or that she doesn't like being vulnerable. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. And I know it's hard. Oh, my goodness. I know it's hard. Sometimes having those conversations, you're like, I don't
But at least it was, like, real.
But, I think that's the thing, is that it's, like, that's probably the realest moment that we had been given so far in this film. And also, it made the acting better.
Yeah.
Really, for sure. Toned it down. She was just much more palatable in that moment. Yeah. Because before then, oh boy, oh boy. I think that's why I started zoning out, because I'm like, I said to you before we started recording, I don't think that there's anything wrong with this script. I think that this script is very much like what we have seen in every other movie. But what really turned me off was the acting.
Yeah, for sure.
And if there were better actors in it, I would like to like rewatch it and see how I would feel about this movie.
Yeah, no, totally. I don't know if we're at this point. Yeah, we might have.
I think we might go.
Baking. He bakes things.
He bakes cookies.
Yeah. I feel like that's KB's perfect man.
Yeah.
Mm.
He makes dessert wine and bakes cookies.
Yeah.
He is very good looking. Do I like him as a person?
No.
I don't.
No. He's just like very standoffish. Like, I don't know how he's like a customer facing kind of role.
Absolutely.
No wonder you don't have any business.
Yeah. And like, I guess that's the thing is that, yes, he's stoic, but not in like a positive way.
Yeah.
He's very, and too very self. Like, as we get towards the end of the movie, I think he shows us his true colors. And I think it's at that point where, the boss loves the special. She loves them falling in love with each other.
Mm.
That's happening on camera. She's like, absolutely. Europe said yes. You leave next week. It's like an immediate
what a world. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I'm like, send me to Europe next week, please. So she goes to him and is like, he's like, let's do this tomorrow. And she's like, I need to fly to Europe. And he starts guilting her over choosing a career. This is the point of the movie where I'm like, oh my gosh, she's not going to choose love. She's going to choose to keep her job and to keep traveling. And this is not something that we've seen before.
Yeah.
And then in getting that awesome, cool moment, we get a guy who is super self-conscious and insecure.
Yeah.
And can't see that there might be two ways or more than one way of going about this. He just decides he's going to cut her off. That's it. That's done. Of course you're going to choose your career over love. How very dare you?
Yeah.
Kind of
how
attitude.
Dare you, woman I've known for 3 days?
Yeah. It's, I just wrote he's a red flag. And at that point, I think I just shut down. Like, I didn't care at that point about him. Because I'm just like,
he's a red flag.
He a big red flag. I wrote he's a red flag.
Yeah.
He a big red flag that I'm like, this like gaslighting moment of like, how could you give up on this really good thing when it's me and this is what you could have. That I'm like, it's not bad for her to want to be ambitious.
Yeah. And why is it always like, the woman who needs to give something up?
Like, to be fair, he then has a conversation with his brother and his brother's like, no. Like, if you love her, then tell her that you love her and then sort things out. Like, he doesn't necessarily tell him that it should go a different way. Like, he doesn't say, no, she's not going to stay for you. He does encourage her to, like, encourage him to at least go and talk. But then Anton's also like, hey, you never wanted to run this business. I wanted to run this business. Yeah. Like, you could have just told me that. Like, you could have said this to me at any time. So I did like that we had two men talking to each other in a very open way. We don't often get that.
No.
Either.
Yeah.
Rudy then decides to leave his life to support her career, which we have never had before.
Yeah. No, ever. Never. It's always the woman who goes to the small town to be with the guy.
Yeah. He doesn't stop her from going. He goes with her. He does end up being her co-host, which I'm like, ugh, there was always something in it for him, I guess. But, like, at least we don't have an ending where big city gal leaves big city job to be small town wife.
Yeah. And at least it's like a genuine connection. They both have like the same kind of interest.
Yeah.
He didn't really want to be where he was anyway, so it made sense for him to go. She got to do what she wanted to do. He gets to do something different with the person that he loves and to travel. Like, I don't know. It's just a very win-win-win-win-win situation.
Which we very rarely, I don't think we have ever gotten an ending like that.
It was,
before.
It was a nice ending.
Yeah.
I really liked it.
And it makes up for some of the other stuff.
Yeah, so well done, Katie.
Well done, Katie.
On writing a good ending.
You gave us a surprise.
Yeah.
I didn't think that we could be shocked.
I can't...
Well, actually, no. I mean, surprised.
We can't blame Katie for the acting.
We can't.
Because I don't think the script was bad. No. I think there were moments in the script, like the plot holes and, like, you know, certain things like that. You go, oh, come on. But at this point, it's inevitable.
It's inevitable.
Like, you're never going to get what you want.
Not in an hour 20 movie.
No.
And we know that going in.
Yeah.
And you guys know that by us talking.
Yeah, but we will still complain.
We'll still complain. We go into a Hallmark movie wanting dramatic realism. Yeah. And instead of watching movies that give us that, like Oppenheimer, to Hallmark.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Very different. Probably doesn't make you think as much. Oh, I don't know. We think a lot.
We think a lot.
When we watch these.
Yeah. Over the top sometimes. But yeah. Look. Could there have been less plot holes?
Yes. Yes.
Could there have been far better acting?
Absolutely.
Yes. But I think the beginning of this movie where she's like, I'm going to use my single lady agenda to my advantage. Yep. And the end of this movie where he's like, you know what? I will leave my life for you. Not that I think that that's how it has to go. I think there is obviously compromise in that. But yes, when someone is like, I don't want to be doing what I'm doing, so of course I'm going to come with you.
Yeah.
I love that that was the male doing that and not the female characters. So,
yeah.
Look, everything in the middle was a means to an end. Sorry,
you got to get there somehow.
But yeah. Did you find three things?
I did.
Hey, did we have a Christmas tree count?
Oh, yeah, but I can't remember if I stopped. Because I got five. I've got 20 so far, but I can't remember if I stopped counting because I was just watching.
That's fair.
Yeah, whoops. I think I also watched this when I was, like, tired.
Yeah.
So I literally can't remember if there were more than that, but I definitely counted 20. Oh, the thing with the Christmas. I think that's one of the things that I liked, but also it's one of the things that I didn't like. Her dad's house was decked out.
Yeah.
And decked, like, out.
Not in a way that was aesthetically pleasing.
No, it was like, imagine someone vomited Christmas inside a house.
And like, it didn't really, I mean, we are very color.
That was about to say.
We're very color coordinated thematic people. And there was no theme.
Oh, no. There was a pink tree and then bloody everything in one room.
Hot pink tinsel mixed in with like everything else. And you're like, this is honestly looks like someone just got a giant bag of Christmas decorations and threw it and just was like, that'll do.
Yeah, but it is one of the things I liked. I love Christmas, and there were elements of like the over-the-top Christmas decorations that I loved. I'm like, yes, these people are just like, it like looks chaotic, but at least they're just like, boom, we like Christmas. Yeah. We're going to throw as much in there. There were definitely like parts of the decorations that I like. So I actually kind of liked the over the top Christmas decorations, but also I didn't. It's this weird thing. I liked it, but I also didn't like it, but I liked it. And then again, loved that it was a winery movie.
Yeah.
And bonus that it was at Christmas time.
Truly. You got two things.
Yeah. My favorite things. Well, they're not my... Yeah, okay. I don't know if a winery is my favorite thing, but I do like going to a winery. And then, so that's true. And then, and then the ending.
Yeah.
I'm rethinking my score, but rating.
It's very similar.
Yeah.
I liked the flipping of some of the tropes. So, like, yes, the, not necessarily the, yes, I'll do whatever you want employee. Like, she was able to manipulate or use that situation to her advantage. we didn't get the name of the TV network until the very end of the movie. And it's Tannen TV, which I'm like, why is that not already a thing? And maybe it'll already be a thing because there are tannins in wine.
Oh.
And it's just a fun little, like, I just am like, that's a great network name for all things wine.
Yeah.
That is very
clever.
Doesn't
exist?
I don't think so.
Tannen TV. No.
No.
It just comes up with
a vineyard Christmas. Yeah. Tannen, I think Tannen TV, if any network was to pick that up, I think it's a great name.
Yeah.
And I really liked that we didn't turn the ambitious woman into one that just then follows a guy.
Yeah.
And we'll adapt her career to suit his country boy needs. So yeah, I just the ending, again, I will say it and I will continue to say it, the ending is really what sold this movie to me. Because yeah, the middle point is very on par with everything we have watched previously.
Yeah, I agree.
In terms of the level of attention span that I had during both of these movies, they were on par with each other for me. And as much as Julie in the last movie, I was like, yes, a friend that's like honest. The ending of this movie, I think, was the same level of like, yes, rock on. So I've given it a 6 out of 10.
I had it as 5 out of 10, but then I changed it now to 5.5. What are we?
5.75.
Yeah, I just, the acting was bad. Really bad. And then like the middle, I didn't really pay a lot of attention, but then the end was good. The ending was good. So that's what bumped it up by the half point in the last 2 minutes of this recording. So yeah. Yeah. I if I'm gonna like think about the two movies that we watched.
If you would watch one again.
Oh, neither. Yeah, there you go. But
sorry, what were you gonna say?
I'm just trying to think of like, yeah. I know, I just really think the acting in this one really, it was really hard to watch.
It lets
really
it down hard to a watch. Lot.
So that's why I have to mark it down a bit, even though like a Vineyard Romance wasn't that great either. Not the worst, but not that great. But it was just something I could at least watch that again. Despite the influencer in A Vineyard Romance, the other acting and side stories were enough to get me through it. But it's everyone's acting in this movie that really threw me off.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate again because I'm like, it's such a easy fix. Like if someone had just been like, hey, that I love your energy, but if we could just tone it down a bit, that would be great. Because everything is just, it feels like a farce. I think that's what it comes down to. It's like, it feels like it should be this kind of slapstick comedy with the intensity of the acting.
They're and like caricatures.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. Not that the acting in these kinds of movies are generally amazing, award-winning types of acting, but I do think that this one felt weirdly heightened.
Yeah.
To the point of, like, uncomfortability.
Yeah. It felt like it may be for stage.
Yeah. Like, if this had been a play.
Yeah. And you were sitting in the back row.
This would have been amazing.
Yeah.
This would have been exactly what you wanted. But, yeah, for film, when it's, like, you can see into people's pores, this was, like, I don't know. It was just really off-putting.
Yeah.
And I know that I'm probably always going to critique the acting more than anything else.
Yeah.
No,
but I'm the same too. Like, some people just don't. But when we're from that kind of background, you just look at it.
Yeah.
Under a microscope.
Oh, this one, you didn't need a microscope.
Oh, no, no. You didn't. You, like, threw the microscope away. You're like, I actually need to step back, like, 10 meters.
I need to go watch this in two rooms away.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, honestly, I just... Maybe, and look, go watch it. Or if you've already watched it, you're like, KB, Aya, the acting was fine. Let us know. If you enjoy that style of acting, then that's fine.
No, no. If you... If you liked the acting in this movie, we challenge you to give us like 10 reasons why and 10 moments. I want a dissertation on why you think the acting was good. I want you to dissect it for me. Be like, at a minute and five, you know, like,
I could really see the intention behind this line.
Girl, you couldn't see anything. I mean, you could see everything, but you couldn't see intention. That's for sure. Yeah. No, yeah. I flat out refuse to listen to anyone who says that the acting was good. That's just me. You can do what you want, but that's what I'll do.
I'll listen to you, and then we can debate it.
Nah. I don't want to be the person who says you're wrong, but you're wrong.
And this is why this podcast works so well. Now, in order to tell us that were wrong and for us to tell you that you're wrong. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at HallmarkedPod, or you can email us your dissertation at HallmarkedPod@gmail.com.
Won't read it. Straight in the trash.
I will read it.
Yeah, true. You have access. We both have access. We both have access.
We're thinking of, again, because Hallmark movies are getting few and far between in terms of our access to them at the moment. Prime is removing some, adding
maybe
some.
Maybe it's our fault.
Maybe Hallmark has decided Australians don't get Hallmark movies anymore because these two girls.
Maybe they just see like only two people watching it, like, and plus my mum. And they're like, three people, not enough.
Not enough. We're trying our best to find as many as we can of movies we haven't already watched.
Yeah.
So we're thinking of maybe, since the month of March has a lot of holidays in it, and we don't have access to any of the Easter Hallmark movies, we're going to watch Irish Wish on Netflix.
It's going to be the new, Lindsay Lohan one.
Yeah, which we're excited about.
I have no idea what it's about. I haven't even looked into it. I just saw it and went, yeah, that's what, that, I think, yeah, we're definitely going to watch that.
We're definitely going to watch it. The guys look attractive. It looks like Lindsay's going to get married, and Ireland's going to be involved. So
amazing.
You know what? All three things that we already like in one movie.
Yeah, no, that's true.
And honestly, if there are, give me all the Irish accents.
She actually makes a wish. It's like,
oh, we're watching the trailer, guys. You don't get to see this.
Oh, oh.
We're watching the trailer without sound.
That's creepy. I didn't like that shot. Sorry.
I think what's going to happen is that she's going to wish for the love of her life.
And then she wakes up with a man in her bed. Yeah. Looks at it. Oh.
Bam.
Okay. Yeah, we'll watch that.
We're going to watch it. And I'm sure that was really great audio for everyone listening at home. It's been a while, guys. We've got to get back into our groove.
We do.
But we appreciate you sticking with us. That's all. I have nothing else to say.
Thank you. We'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.